You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Wednesday, the 1st of February, 2023, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at RadioAlbion.com. Well, we have one long article to get into today, which has been put out by Sky News, and they are claiming that black people in the United Kingdom are living in fear over racism. And that is what the UN experts are saying. They're literally trembling in their boots over the racism, the overt racism that there is within this multicultural society. If they were living within a homogenous community of black people, then they wouldn't be living in fear over racism, would they? The reason for this is multiculturalism. And we'll see that as we get into this. And I say it so many times that racism just could not exist if you didn't have multiculturalism. That is the policy that is at the root of all these problems. A panel of United Nations experts paints a bleak picture of the state of racism in the UK, but the government says it is only a superficial analysis and that the country is open, tolerant, and welcoming. So the government have a completely different view to this. So how is it that you can have two different groups of people with a completely different view on things? Well, it's because they're different people. That's the reason why. It's because you've got one group here that is black Caribbean, black African, and then you've got another group of people that is made up of all different peoples, which is the government, and they have a different view of things. And you're always going to have people with different views on the same things happening if you have multiculturalism. Black people in the UK are living in fear due to structural, institutional, and systemic racism, according to a United Nations working group. And it doesn't matter what you do to try and prevent this, doesn't matter what programs you put in place, doesn't matter how many diversity quotas you have, doesn't matter how many laws you have to prevent people from criticizing aspects of behavior from minority groups, they are always going to have a suspicion that there is discrimination against them simply because they're living amongst these other people groups. And you're always going to have that suspicion. It doesn't matter what ethnic minority you are, you're always going to have a suspicion that you're being discriminated against when you have multiculturalism. I mean, they pretend that it's different for white people, but it's not different for white people. If you're a white male, there is now the fear that you've been looked over because you're a white male and because the company wants diversity and they want more females to be working there. There is open discrimination against white people in job adverts now. We've had BBC adverts asking for ethnic minorities to apply. We've had adverts for the police saying that they want ethnic minorities to come along to workshops to learn how to be the police. And when they specifically ask for ethnic minorities, that is excluding white people from that. There's no point in even turning up if you're white, because there is this push to get ethnic minorities, to boost ethnic minorities. So that is discrimination against white people. And even when it's not open discrimination like that, white people are going to be suspicious that they are being discriminated against. Exactly the same as black people will, Muslims will. And none of that can happen if you have an ethnically homogenous society. There was no fear that there was discrimination and racism in Britain in the 1920s and the 1930s, because it wasn't until after the Second World War that Britain had diversity and multiculturalism. Up to the Second World War, Britain was 99.9% white, and racism just couldn't exist. There was nobody claiming that they had been discriminated against by the police, or they'd been discriminated against for job prospects in the 1920s and the 1930s. And these things just didn't happen, that they couldn't happen. It was impossible for them to happen. And yet now we have a multicultural society. We have this group within society which is living in fear. And you can say, well, we've looked at this and there are other reasons for this. There are other reasons for these different outcomes, other reasons for what you think is racism. But that doesn't change the fact of the matter that these people think it is racism, and that results in them living in fear. It means multiculturalism results in groups just being fearful simply from government institutions. The experts who spent 10 days travelling across the United Kingdom warned that people of African descent continue to encounter racial discrimination and erosion of their fundamental rights. And of course the government are saying, well, that isn't so, everybody has equal rights. But what they've done here is these experts, they've just asked people of African descent about this, whether they think there is racism, whether they think their rights are being impinged upon. It's not that this is a completely unbiased observer here. It's all anecdotes. It's all going to people and asking them. And that's where these accusations of racism come from. These accusations of institutional racism, for instance. You might get somebody black who applies for a job, he doesn't get the job. And the reason why he didn't get the job is because he wasn't qualified, or he didn't have as good a qualifications as somebody else that he was competing against for the job. But he then doesn't get the job, and he thinks that that's down to racism, because he's been told there is this institutional racism. So then when the UN expert asks him whether there is racism, he says, yes, there is, of course there is. Yes, I didn't get this job because of it. So it all hinges upon who the observer is. Because when the government look at that, or when the guy that's actually looking for people to employ looks at it, he will say, well, no, it's not because you're black that I didn't employ you. It's because this other person here had better qualifications. So it all depends on the observer. Again, that cannot happen with ethnically homogenous communities. It's not down to white people being racist. It's not down to black people having this sense of grievance so much as it is down to multiculturalism. You can say, well, black people have this sense of grievance against them and they've been propagandized into that, but that just couldn't happen if they had an ethnically homogenous community that they lived among. It also highlighted trauma felt by people who are suffering racial discrimination, particularly in the criminal justice system. And this is a very common canard that we get told about how black people are being discriminated against in the criminal justice system because there are five times as many black people in prison for violent crimes as their percentage of the population. And people look at that and they say, well, that means there must be racism, surely. Why are there five times as many of them in there? But then if you look at men and you look at how many men are in the prison system, how many men have been prosecuted for violent crimes as opposed to women, you'll see that men are something like 100 times more likely to be prosecuted for violent crimes than women. And we don't say, well, that is because society hates men. It's because society is discriminating against men. We say, well, that's because men are more likely to carry out violent crimes. And unless you're going to say that all these judges are racist, all the police are racist, and there are lots of white people getting away with violent crimes and lots of black people that are completely innocent in prison, when you look at those figures, you have to say, well, the reason must be that they have a higher percentage of people engaged in violent crime than in another community that you are comparing them to. So it says here that the trauma felt by people who are suffering racial discrimination, and of course the families of the people that have been put in prison, it's traumatic for them, and they're blaming racism for this because they've been told that it's racism. David Lammy did a report. He looked into all these differences in life outcomes between ethnicities, and he said it's got to be racism. It's got to be. Why else would there be five times as many black people in the prison And why would it be the same in America as well? We've had five times as many black people in the prisons in America. It must be racism. Of course, he didn't then go and look at South Africa and look at the crime rate in South Africa. He didn't then think, well, what might be the cause of this? Could there be another reason besides that? Well, we're looking at this and we're saying, well, they seem to be more likely to commit crime. What would be the reason for that? Could it be that they're less likely to have fathers in their lives? I think it's something like 80% of black youth are now brought up in broken homes. Could it be down to the different average IQ of people of African descent? If you look at some of these African countries, their average IQ is 70. And in some of the others, it's 65. Now, that doesn't mean that they're retarded. If it was a white person that had an IQ that was that low, I forget what the actual word is. It might even be retarded. That was the word that they had. But that is because white people are supposed to have 100 IQ. So if they have 30 points lower than that, they're not going to be able to get on. They're not going to be sociable. They're not going to be able to function. Whereas because that is the average amongst the African IQ, they are able to function. They're able to get by because that's what they're supposed to have in order to be able to function. So it's not saying that they are retarded in any way like that, but it is saying that they have a lower average IQ, and a lower average IQ predicts that there will be more criminality in the people with that lower IQ. So these are some other reasons that there might be for what people might perceive as racial discrimination in the justice system. But there are all these other reasons that that could be. And of course, people are going to feel trauma if their family member is in prison. And if you go to them and the family member who's in prison has said, well, I didn't do this, this is an injustice, their family are going to think, well, this is an injustice, isn't it? And they're going to say, well, it's down to racism. Again, it's down to the observer. And you can say, well, it's not true, and the person was guilty. But again, the fact of the matter is that the people that surround him are feeling this trauma. They believe that it was down to racism. And you're never going to be able to change that, are you? Dominic Day, a human rights expert for the group, said, what we found overwhelmingly was a culture of fear, a culture of denial, where the conversation about racism usually involves gaslighting and the delegitimization of very credible claims. And I dare say that Dominic Day is also of African heritage, and she wasn't looking at this in an objective way. She was looking at this, well, all we're going to do is ask the alleged victims about this. We're not going to ask the rest of the people in society. We're not going to ask these other groups. We're not going to suggest that there could be other reasons for these different outcomes. They'd already decided that it was going to be racism was what they were going to be investigating. And what a surprise that is what they found. And I don't doubt that what they found was a culture of fear. There is just as much fear in the black community because of multiculturalism as there is fear in the white community because of multiculturalism. You know, diversity is not a strength. Diversity is a weakness. And it produces a culture of fear. The group found the fear in black communities was pervasive and widespread across multiple sectors, including but not limited to asylum seekers, the Windrush generation, people in social housing, and parents experiencing social care scrutiny. This is very interesting because the so-called Windrush generation have pretty much been sainted by the government. They're putting up statues to them. They're making out that it was this wonderful defining period in British history. And it was effectively just Caribbean people turning up on ships looking for work. That's all it was. And some of them didn't bother getting a passport, didn't bother getting ID. So when the Conservative government were looking for people that shouldn't be here, I think one or two of them were deported. So the government made this big thing about this, what a terrible thing it was that these people had been accidentally deported, and what a help to the country they were after the war. So the government's gone out of their way to make the Windrush generation feel welcome. Yet, as it says here, people from the Windrush generation, they have just as much fear as anyone else, which to me, it just says, well, there's nothing you can do about this. Doesn't matter how much work you put into trying to not discriminate and be anti-racist, there's still going to be this fear of racism. If you look at the television now and you look at TV programs and you compare them to the 70s, there are a lot of TV programs that were made in the 70s that they wouldn't dare to repeat now. Things like It Ain't Half Hot Mum, In Sickness and Health, I think that was on in the 80s. And they just wouldn't show them now because there's lots of racial slurs in them. There's lots of racial jokes in them. And we don't have that today. And yet when you ask black people today about the racism, do you think it's worse today than it is in the 70s? And they'll all say, well, it's worse today, even though we don't have these TV programs on anymore. So it seems that no matter how much work you put into trying to do away with racism, there is always going to be this suspicion that it is there. And as it says here, this group are living in fear of this. And they wouldn't be living in fear of it if they just had ethnically homogenous communities. Do they live in fear of racism in the Congo or in Nigeria or in any of these other African countries? The idea that they would be discriminated against because they're black, it just doesn't exist in their ancestral homelands, does it? It was widespread. It was across sectors, across generations, across income levels. It was a real feature of everyday life for a lot of black people here, said Miss Day. That's the Dominique Day, the human rights expert who is looking into this. So she's saying it's everywhere. It's throughout the black community. They have this fear of racism, and it's all because of multiculturalism. And then they come up with an instance of this. Olamide said he was 17 when he was arrested by the British Transport Police in a case of mistaken identity. So they were looking for somebody in particular. They had a witness description of somebody, probably a very violent criminal if they were looking out for him, maybe someone who just stabbed someone or whatever. And they thought that Olamide fitted this description. So they tried to arrest him. Olamide says he was manhandled by two police officers, had his face pushed against the pavement, and handcuffs were placed so tightly that they drew blood. And you can look at that and you can say, well, obviously, you know, that he hasn't been treated very well there. But if the police thought that he just stabbed somebody or that he was dangerous, a dangerous criminal, which they likely did, if they put him in handcuffs and put him in this position, it would have been because they were frightened that he was going to attack them themselves. And what they should have said to him is look, we think you are this person. If you are not this person, then we will apologize and you can go home. But we have to do this to protect ourselves and because you fit this description. So obviously he was resisting in some way, or they wouldn't have laid him down on the pavement and pushed his face down to the pavement. He must have been resisting this, which of course he would have been doing if it was a case of mistaken identity. He would have been protesting that he's not the person that the police were looking for. But the police must have interpreted that as, well, he is resisting. So this Olamide, he says, I've seen this in the movies. I've seen this happen to other people, and I never thought it would actually happen to me. And this is a large part of it, because that's what happens in the movies. And if you're in the black community, you're constantly bombarded with this message that the police are just out to kill you because they hate the colour of your skin. And the police are racist and they just go after black people. They never go after white people because white people have privilege. And if you get arrested by the police, there's a very high chance that you're going to come out of it dead. So they resist. They resist arrest. As he says here, he's seen this in the movies. I mean, how many times in the movies is there a case of mistaken identity with arrest? And when they check the person and they find out he's the wrong person, they let them go. That isn't what happens in the movies, is it? That isn't what happens in the videos that you see of black people being arrested. It's always unarmed black man was killed by American cops. So he's obviously been propagandized to think that this is going to have a terrible outcome for him. And he's pretty much admitting that by saying that he's seen this happen in the movies. So he would have been resisting arrest. He said, I have never committed a crime. I haven't done anything illegal, but I still had to experience something that shouldn't have happened to me. It is upsetting. So, and it shouldn't have happened to him because it was a case of mistaken identity. But that also happens with white people white people get mistaken for being a witness description, for fitting a witness description. It's not something that only happens to black people. It can happen to anyone. So the British Transport Police looked into this because he did put a complaint in. In response to the complaint, British Transport Police said the result of the complaint has since been finalised. No misconduct was identified. However, the service was found to not be acceptable. So the police had done what they were supposed to do. So clearly he must have fit the description of a violent criminal. So the police were found to not have been misconducting themselves. And they just found the service to not be right. This has been explained in a letter to the complainant, acknowledging that our communication with him during the incident could have been better and could have helped to de-escalate the situation. So the police should have said to him, look, if what you're saying is right and you are not the person who fit the witness description, then we'll apologise and let you go. But we have to put you in this position to protect ourselves from you before we check your ID to find out who you are. So the police were found that they could have spoken to him a little bit better. But if you think about it, in the heat of the moment, if they think they've got a violent criminal there with a knife, they're going to act first and ask questions later, aren't they? Because if they do it the other way around, they could get stabbed. British Transport Police has offered an apology to the boy and his family, and the officers involved have been provided with points of learning. So they did apologise to him, and you would expect that they probably apologised to him before then, when they realised that he wasn't actually the person that they were looking for. But it's not down to race. It's not because the police hate the colour of the skin that they arrested this boy. It's because he fit the description of a violent criminal. Olamide said the incident not only left him with physical scars, but mental ones too. Every time I hear a siren, I still feel startled, even though I haven't done anything wrong, but they can just randomly pull up and arrest me the same way that they did before. And this is the sort of thing that happens to anybody that's young. You don't have to be black. You can be white and you can get pulled over by the police and frisked and searched and what have you, looking for drugs, looking for knives, and you can have done nothing wrong. And then when you hear the police, you're going to feel startled or what have you. But what's being made out here is that this only happens to black people. This can only have happened to him because he was black. And this is clearly what Olamide thinks. He thinks that this was a racist incident, even though it's been investigated. So again, it says it doesn't matter what the institutions do, doesn't matter what the government does. If you're part of the black community, you're still going to think that racism is at the root of this. And he says, I'm just living in constant fear of not knowing if I'm going to get arrested or if a police officer is going to stop me or if anything bad is going to happen to me, he said. So here's an instance of it. He's living in constant fear. Would that have happened if it had been black police officers within an ethnically homogenous black community? Would he still have this fear? Well, I suspect he would, because he would still be thinking, well, I might get arrested again. It might be another case of mistaken identity. But at least he wouldn't be thinking, well, it's down to racism. When asked if he agreed with the working group's findings that racism is often dismissed, he swiftly nodded his head. So even though this has been investigated and it was found that there was no misconduct, racism was not involved, he is still certain that racism was involved. Yes, he said, explaining that when he told the officers he believed he was being treated unjustly due to the colour of his skin, he was told he was playing the race card. So he did. He thought that the police just hated the colour of his skin, and that's why they were trying to arrest him. It had nothing whatsoever to do with the fact that he fit a witness description of a violent criminal. It was simply because they hated the colour of his skin. And that is the logic that is propagandised into people constantly. Is that it's just this hatred of skin colours. Not that there could be any other reasons for this. And the fact of the matter is, he believes that's what it was. And clearly, all the people that they ask here who have had these things happen, they believe it's all down to racism. He said, there's been many instances where I've had people say, here we go, the race card, like we use it as a defence mechanism. We use it because we know when something's wrong. But clearly, as it says here, there wasn't anything wrong, but he had this suspicion anyway. And what I'm saying is they will always have this suspicion. If you are part of an ethnic minority group and you're living in a multicultural area, there will always be a suspicion that your ethnicity has played some part in the interaction, that somehow you're being discriminated against if you don't get what you're looking for out of that interaction. And the only way you're going to get rid of that is to get rid of multiculturalism. The UN Working Group of Experts on People of African Descent also met representatives from UK central government and local government, including the department responsible for equality. It did find some positives, highlighting that the country is a leader in the collection of data and good data practice. I think they could do better in that, actually, because they try to avoid doing that. They try to avoid collecting data on ethnicity because they say that the far right can end up using it and profit from it, from showing that there are these differences. But at the same time, because of this David Lammy report, they are now collecting more data on ethnicity and criminality. But of course, they don't use it in the right way. They don't say, well, this shows that this ethnicity might have a higher propensity for crime, or this ethnicity might have a might not do so well at school. They look at it and they say, well, this just proves that there is racism. There can't be any other reason for this other than hatred of the colour of the skin. So it's not just the alleged victims of this racism that think this. You know, it's the government that think this as well. So the government are saying, well, we're really good about this. We work really hard at this. But they still push this idea that the only reason there can be for these differences is racism. The group found holes in the government's plan to tackle discrimination by focusing on equality of opportunity and not equality of outcomes. And again, I mean, when you think about that, what they're saying there is people shouldn't achieve things through merit. People should just achieve things through what race they are. That's what they're saying there. Because Britain does pride itself on equality of opportunity, but that's not good enough now. Now there has to be equity. Now there has to be equality of outcome. And that's the equivalent of saying, if somebody has worked really, really hard all the way through school, they've worked really hard and they've got top exam results, that is saying that somebody who hasn't worked really hard at all, somebody who's just played around, they should be given the top exam results as well. Because otherwise, you don't have an equality of outcomes. I mean, that's an extreme example of this, but that's what they're actually saying. They're saying it's not good enough to have equality of opportunity. There has to be equality of outcomes. Experts say this is a failure to acknowledge or confront how opportunities for people of African descent have been eroded through all aspects of society. How have they been eroded? If people concentrate on equality of opportunity, how can they be eroded? That's not what they're saying. They're saying they want equality of outcomes. They're saying it must be that black people only have as many black people in prison as their percentage of the population, which effectively means that 80% of them then get away with carrying out the crime, because you're only going to put the same percentage of them as their population within prison. You know, that would be forcing equality of outcomes here. Forcing equality of outcomes in the job market would mean that you've got people that aren't qualified, that shouldn't be in top positions, are put into top positions purely because of their race. I mean, this is what we've seen happen in South Africa. And the result of that in South Africa is that everything is breaking down. The power stations are breaking down. There were rolling blackouts. You have to bring your own medicines to the hospitals. And all of this is because they've put people in these positions to give them equality of outcome rather than putting them in positions based on their merit. And this is what this UN group is saying. They're saying, no, you can't just focus on equality of opportunity, because if we do that, this group still don't end up having the same outcomes as this other group. Well, the reason for that is because they are a different group. I mean, if you were to measure sprinting, perhaps, or basketball playing, or dancing, then you would see that white people don't do so well at it. You would see that even though there's an equality of opportunity, there isn't an equality of outcome. And that's why you have mainly black sprinters, mainly black basketball players, because they are better at doing that. And everybody understands that. Nobody says, well, this is because the people running the basketball team or running the sprinting, this is because they hate the colour of the skin. They hate white people. I mean, it does help with this to look at analogies and say, well, what about if this was around the other way? And that really does help to put it into perspective. Experts say this is a failure to acknowledge or confront how opportunities for people of African descent have been eroded through all aspects of society. So they look at this and they say, well, because we're not on the board of directors, it must be because of racism. Because we're not earning as much as the top strata of society, it must be because of racism. And because of that, they say, well, it must be that they haven't had enough opportunities. That must be what it is. It must be because they haven't had the opportunities, in which case it must be that the people that hold out these opportunities, they're racist against them. And the opposite of that is they say, and the reason why white people are in the top strata of society of earners, why it's mainly white people are on the board of directors, that's because of white privilege. It can only be because of white privilege. It can't be because there are actually differences between ethnic groups. Miss Day described the government approach as being like twisting into a pretzel, and that it was very apparent at the higher levels of government. So I think what she's looking at there, she's saying, yeah, well, it is very apparent at the higher levels of government is that you've got more white people there than you have black people. And that will be because there are more white people qualified to be in that position than there are black people qualified to be in that position. I mean, another way you can look at this, you can look at the differences between men and women. And I was just thinking about this the other day. You know, there are no female philosophers because women aren't particularly good at philosophy. And that's the reason. It's not because the people that do philosophy are discriminating against women. It's simply because they're not very good at that. It's not because there is a hatred of the shape of women that we don't have any female philosophers. And yet what she's saying here is because we don't have very many black people in the higher levels of government. Of course, we do in the cabinet, but not very many in the higher levels of government. It must be because of racism. So she is suffering from this same thing, if you can call it suffering, that there is this fear of discrimination and racism as much as the group that she's been investigating are. This isn't the first time the working group has travelled to the UK. They were invited in 2012, but they said many of the conditions for people of African descent seem to have worsened. So here we have it. This is what I was saying earlier. Even though we don't have these TV programmes on anymore, that used to use racial slurs and make racial jokes, and people used to say, oh, that's terrible, terribly racist. We got rid of those TV programs. So just because of that, you would think that people would say, well, there's less racism. But no, this group say that it's worsened since 2012. It's worsened in the last 10 years. Instead of addressing the human rights of people of African descent, the working group said we saw really complex narratives trying to justify inaction. And what they mean by that is the government investigating some of these claims and saying, well, they're just anecdotal and these institutions are not discriminating against people because of the colour of their skin. They are discriminated against people by their qualifications. Or this group is more likely to carry out knife crime because this group is in poverty. I mean, they come up with all these other reasons. And really, it's just the fact that the people are different. Just as individuals are different from other individuals, different people groups are different from other people groups. The experts have encouraged all stakeholders, including the government, to do more to ensure the rehabilitation, restoration and reconciliation of the state with its people. And it's interesting to use this term stakeholders there. That comes from this Great Reset. That is Klaus Schwab. His idea for the Great Reset is that government only has the same amount of power as NGOs and also corporations. And they're all stakeholders, basically. That's where that comes into this. And she's saying that we need the reconciliation of the state with its people. Well, unfortunately, the state is not exclusively made up from the people that it is governing. It would be If we had a homogeneous country that was ruling itself, then the people that made up the state would be the exact same people that it was governing. But unfortunately, we don't have that. We have multiculturalism, which means that you have people in the state that are not black. So it's always going to be this problem there. Unless black people have a state that is made up completely of black people and they live in an ethnically homogeneous area, they're always going to have this fear of discrimination, and it's not going to be possible to reconcile the state with its people. The UN will present a report with their findings and recommendations to the UN Human Rights Council September 2023. But Ms. Day added, there's enough reports, there's enough recommendations, there is enough data, and we say that in the findings as well. But of course, it's not data, is it? It's just anecdote. It's black people saying that they fear that the reason why they had a different outcome to somebody white is because of racism. Whereas if we just taught people that, yes, you are actually different, you know, your eyes are not lying to you when they tell you that, that there are these different groups in society, and that means that there is likely to be different outcomes, there wouldn't be this so much fear then, would there? There wouldn't be this fear that they're being discriminated against, and there wouldn't be this resentment of these other groups. Because alongside the fear, there is resentment as well. That's why I say diversity is not conducive for any group within society. A government spokesperson said that it strongly rejects most of the findings, claiming the report wrongly views people of African descent as a single homogenous group of people. And that is quite commendable. That's what the government are doing now. They're saying we shouldn't refer to people as black and minority ethnic. We should differentiate them into the different ethnicities. And there are some ethnicities in Africa that have an IQ, I think, of 80. And there are others that have an IQ that is below 70. So you will get these differences. And you will get the differences among groups. I mean, when you look at the black ethnicity, for instance, you have Pygmies, you have Bushmen, you have the Maasai, you have I forget what the modern term is, but you have the Hottentot body type. There are all these different body types, just for a start, and they're going to have different ways of doing things. But the problem is, often you don't actually know what somebody's ethnicity is, so there are instances where it is more helpful just to refer to people as non-white or to refer to them as black. The government said the findings present a superficial analysis of complex issues that fail to look at all possible causes of disparities, not just race. And that's what I've been saying here. They look at these differences in outcomes and they say, well, it can only be down to discrimination. And the people that are the alleged victims of this, they are saying it is discrimination, therefore it must be. And again, if they lived in homogenous ethnic communities, they wouldn't have that suspicion. They wouldn't be living in fear, would they? And they wouldn't have this resentment of the other groups in society, specifically white people. We are proud that the UK is an open, tolerant and welcoming country, but this hard-earned global reputation is not properly reflected in this report, the spokesperson said. And the government did their own report into institutional racism, and they said, well, there isn't any institutional racism in Britain. Yes, there is individual racism, but there are no institutions that are saying, we're not going to do this for you because we hate the colour of your skin. That just doesn't happen. But as we heard here, there is this suspicion specifically amongst the black community that is what is going on. You know, the British government said there are other reasons for these different outcomes, other reasons. And what they're saying here, this report is saying, well, that's just an excuse to say there are other reasons. So the statistics and the data, that's just an excuse, because what really matters is the views of these people. And, you know, that isn't such a wrong way to look at it, because it is the views that matter. You know, whether these things are going on or not, the fact of the matter is that black people are frightened. They are living in fear that these things are going on. So the only way to solve that is, as I keep saying, ethnically homogenous communities. Then they wouldn't have that fear. The British government said, we are not complacent and we recognise that some people experience racism in Britain, but we are very clear that this has no place in our society and it must be rooted out. And of course, that is what they try to do. That's why they did this report, and they looked into institutional racism and said it doesn't exist. The government say they have made great strides in addressing racial and ethnic disparities, most recently with our groundbreaking Inclusive Britain strategy, Instead of sowing division, we must celebrate the fact that this country strives to give everybody from every community in every corner of the UK the opportunity to thrive and succeed. But we've been told that's wrong, haven't we? We've been told that it's no good having equality of opportunity. It must be equality out of outcome. So both these groups are talking at cross purposes here. The UN spokesperson is saying, well, you need to have equality of outcome. It's not good enough, equality of opportunity. And the spokesperson is saying, look how great we are. We've given out this, we worked so hard on equality of opportunity. That's all we need is equality of opportunity. So both groups are saying the opposite is needed to have success, which means that in society, both groups are pulling society in opposing directions. This is another thing that I say so much, is that multiculturalism can only result in a country being pulled in multiple directions at once, instead of all pushing in one direction to try and improve life outcomes for one particular group. Anyway, thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.